I just want to briefly introduce myself. I think it's a good thing to do when you get to speak. Karis and I are enjoying life here at Village. Eddie, our son, is almost 2 years old, and Ivy, our daughter, is almost 2 months old. It's been a joy watching them grow, and in our marriage, we're learning about each other, and one of the things that we're learning about is what we remember, things that we remember and things that we forget. One of the things that Karis is exceptionally good at is details, which I'm so grateful for because it's not a strength of mine. Some of you are snickering that are related to me or work with me in the office. I am grateful for Karis's detail-oriented things. She's really good at remembering lists. She's really good at remembering a lot of things. She sometimes forgets to take the meat out to defrost it, and she sometimes forgets to do the laundry, she told me, and she told me that those are a couple things that she forgets. She also sometimes forgets to take her vitamins, but overall, she's pretty good at remembering things. I, on the other hand, I'm really good at forgetting things. It's like a skill that I've acquired over the years. I'm really good with numbers. I can remember our anniversary is May 29th. Looking forward to that. It's our third anniversary. It's not a problem for me to remember numbers and birthdays and dates. But I lose the big three a lot of times. I lose my wallet, I lose my keys, and I lose my phone. And it is hard for me to keep those things all in play. There's a hierarchy of things that we remember and forget. Our message this morning is keeping Jesus first in a forgetful world. And in a world of forgetfulness, there's all kinds of things that you and I can forget. If you forget to check your teeth, you could go and you could have something stuck in your teeth, which is no big deal. But we all know there's a hierarchy when you're on like a first date or you want to make a good impression. That is a more big deal. Forgetting someone's name, not a big deal. Forgetting your own kid's name, a bigger deal. Having your zipper down can be a big deal. And when you're at the airport about to go on a plane, it may not be a big deal to lose your wallet around the house, but you don't want to lose your wallet when you're about to show your driver's license to get on the plane. That's a pretty important one. We don't want to forget those important things. But there's some things that are just too important to forget. You don't just forget to go to work, do you? Oh, sure, you could like miss your alarm, but you don't forget. Oh, sorry, boss, I forgot today. That doesn't happen. You don't, as students, tell the principal, I'm sorry, Mr. Principal, I just forgot to go to school today. It just blew my mind. That's not something we forget, is it? It's too important. Karis and I don't forget to buckle up Eddie and Ivy. It's way too important. We don't forget to buckle our seatbelts. We don't forget and just, oh, I'm sorry, officer, I just happened to be going flying down the freeway at 100 miles an hour. I forgot the speed limit was 35. You don't forget those things. They're too important. We remember and forget different things. They all have different importances, but what about God? What about when we forget about God? What if we forget about how he wants to lead us and orient our lives? What if we forget how to lead our families? When I forget my keys, wallet, phone, I hope you're as blessed to have someone in your life as I am. Karis will just say, it's okay. We'll find it. And when you and I forget God, he is right there reminding us. He's gentle. He's saying, it's okay. If you lose your way, we'll find it together. God's heart for us is to remember him. He will help you to know and show Jesus. He will help you to keep Jesus first. Would you turn in your Bibles with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Ushers are coming down the aisles. They would love to give you a Bible. If you don't have one, just raise your hand and they will hand them your way. Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy is the fifth book of the Bible. In Sunday school, in Awana, we learned Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And throughout the entire five books, the story is pretty much the same in every way. God, who is all-loving, creates and is perfect, creates man, and man doesn't keep him first and forgets and sins and falls. God creates a people chosen for himself, Israel, and they forget a lot. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but here in Deuteronomy 6, the person that we sang about in Days of Elijah, Moses, is here before the people, almost as if he's shaking them. Remember the Lord your God. Remember, this is God. Listen up. This is God. This is who he is. You need to love him. You need to put him first in your life. So would you read with me Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. So the first thing that we see here is to know Jesus. The first way to keep Jesus first in your life is to know him. People would come up to Jesus all the time, and they would, with different motivations, usually selfish ones, not putting God first. And they would ask him, like, well, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus points us back to this text when he talks about that in the New Testament. He points back to the Old Testament. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Jesus adds mind. Why does our Savior point us back here? Why doesn't he use this as an opportunity to tell them all the ways that they've disobeyed God? I mean, if you look at it, look at our Lord. We have constantly sinned against him. We have disobeyed, disregarded, disrespected for year after year, storing up our wrath. And here comes Jesus, the Savior of the world, and he says, this points us back here. Love the Lord your God. Put him first. Why would God do that? What a loving Lord that we have. He says, these words, these commands today shall be on your heart. When you know someone and love them, what you know about them matters, doesn't it? When you know someone, love someone, their preferences, the things that they care about, they think about, that matters to you, doesn't it? I would only pick on you if you're someone that I knew and trust. Craig Sixta, I have a question for you. What is your bride's, Terry's, what's one of her favorite foods? Hibachi. Why does Craig know that? Because he loves his bride. She loves hibachi. He loves her. So I bet you Craig's eating a lot of hibachi. He knows that because he loves her. He cares about her. If you put Jesus first in your heart, you will know Jesus. The things that he cares about will be the things that you care about. You'll be close. This passage shows us three main things that we will do when we keep Jesus first, to know Jesus. These three things. The first one, we will choose to listen. We'll choose to listen. We will listen to his people. God speaks a lot of time in my life. My mom and dad are here. They'll attest a lot of the ways that God spoke to me. I had all these great plans in my mind. I was going to go to Moody Bibles. I had all these plans. It was through my parents, through people in your life that care about you, through the church. God speaks to people. Sometimes someone else that loves Jesus can see a gift in you that you can't even see in yourself. If you love Jesus, you're going to be listening to his people. You're going to be in his word, aren't you? You're going to be reading and asking God, what do you want me to think about, listen to, love? What do you want me to do, O Lord? And third, something that you're going to do is you're going to, when it comes to listening and knowing God, the passage shows that we're going to hold his word close. We're going to hold his word close. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, I think I skipped something here. You're going to go beyond just mental assent. There we go. You're going to hold his words closely. You're going to love him beyond mental assent. So that's that slide, that was the downloading slide. If you only know about Jesus, this is one of the hang-ups that we kind of have sometimes when we're accruing knowledge in our heads. How much of it is fully downloaded in your hearts? You look at the disciples, and they were like, I think I know Jesus. And off they would go. They didn't know him the way that he wanted them to know him. They didn't follow him. To know him is to love him, which goes beyond mere mental assent. In Awana, Sarah Rouse and the whole team has worked very hard that we not just make it just head knowledge stuff, that we live it out, that we know it. And that brings us to holding his word close, where one of the verses we learned in Ephesians 4:32 was, what is Ephesians 4:32, if you remember? Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And if you're holding God's word close, if you're there, sitting there, reading, behind, kind and compassionate, and your little sister taps you on the shoulder, you almost say, ah, quiet, I'm reading the Bible about being kind and compassionate, forgiving one another. That's not our heart. But so often, you and I have this problem where we'll have it in our word, and we'll maybe do our devotions, but we don't always, it doesn't always translate in how we live our lives. So to know Jesus, to really know him, to choose to listen to him, to love him with more than just mental assent, and then to actually respond. I want to ask, how are we doing at that? How are you doing at listening and loving him beyond just acknowledging. How are we doing at holding his word close? So we know just keeping Jesus first, we know him. Second, we show him. So when we keep Jesus first, we show Jesus. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 7 through 9, would you read with me? It says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way. And when you lie down and when you rise, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." And that brings us to what you do when you show Jesus. When you show Jesus, you show him by taking time to teach it to your children. Moms and dads, the call begins with you. Keeping Jesus first needs to be taught to your children and needs to be done so with diligence over and over. How do you know when this is taught? When they show that whether they choose to obey it or not, they know it's your heart, and they know that it's your heart for them. Moms and dads, the call begins with you. But here's where Israel messes up and what parents need to teach and do so diligently. God tells this to Israel. It starts with parents, sure. But God tells this to Israel, and apparently as we read the entire rest of the Bible, Israel plays this one big gigantic game of nose-goes. You know the game nose-goes where someone says, "Yeah, who's going to take out the trash?" And the first person to put their nose doesn't have to go, but the last person, if you're in a group of five, the fifth person that didn't put their nose up, nose-goes, they have to do it. Who wants to take out the trash? Nose-goes. And Israel does this with God. In the case of generations after generations, who's going to teach diligently to the children? Nose-goes, "They're not my kids. I didn't procreate these kids. These are your kids." Do you know what Jesus does in response when we're technical with Jesus? He throws it back in your face. Jesus does this. Jesus says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." And a wise guy says, "Well, who's my neighbor?" And Jesus goes at length, makes sure that he knows, and tells a deep, long story of the good Samaritan, the bad guy, whoever the other guy is for you. You know, the Packer fan for you Vikings fans. Who is my neighbor? It's that person. Who's the person that I'm called to deeply love? It's that person. Who are my kids? These are our kids, Village. It's not somebody else's responsibility. It's our responsibility. Jesus says, his mom and his brothers are outside embarrassed about Jesus. Someone says, essentially, "Jesus, your mother's calling." And Jesus says, "Who's my mother and who are my brothers?" And his response is, "You're looking at this real technical, and I'm saying it's way bigger. If you think for a second that these precious children aren't our responsibility, Jesus has some good news for you and me. If you're going to be in community with one of these kids, the onus is on you and me to be a diligent example, reaching and teaching these kids. That's our job. Many of these kids, we actually stood up and they were dedicated here, which means we just held them up here. We pointed out, we said, "You, I'm going to love you. I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to join that." Yeah, it's mom and dad's job first. You bet. They're the primary discipleship maker. But it's also our job, isn't it, to support that? What a huge difference that makes. It's made a huge difference in my life. I can tell you that. Teach your children diligently. In saying this, I want to make sure to say one big thing, and that is you are doing this really well. A lot of parents here, their kids graduated, went through the system, and they were in it, and the kids moved on, and the parents have stuck in to Awana, to youth ministry, to Sunday school, to the nursery. All those nursery workers, they don't have little babies anymore. But they do. They've got your kiddos. And they're loving them tirelessly. And they're plugging in. So if you're wondering, "Well, do I belong?" Come up to Sarah, come up to Carl, our Sunday school superintendent, say, "I want to help." They're not going to say, "Well, do you have any kids in here?" They're going to say, "Great, come aboard." Because that's what it is to be a part of the family of God. So show Jesus by teaching diligently to your children, to our children. Next, show Jesus by being bold to talk about him anywhere and everywhere. It says in God's word here, talk about them. Talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise. I want to ask you something, church. Is this one a hard one for you? When you think about talking about him everywhere you go, do you get an image of an East Coaster, of like someone from New York or some crazy extrovert or some religious radical? Can you imagine if you actually did this in Minnesota? Yeah, you betcha. Talking about Jesus everywhere you go. What if you live like that? Brian and Elaine Johnson's kid did this. He's in his late 20s. He gets on this huge reality TV show in Europe. And God is on his lips so much, the TV crew can only edit so much out. And they have to air him. The guy, spoiler alert, he does really well, okay? He wins the whole thing. Can I say that? Okay, he wins the whole thing. He clobbers it. And so they got to air it, and everywhere he goes, on his lips, is the praise of Jesus. He's not being obnoxious about it, it's just who he is. He doesn't hide it. And millions have heard the praise of Jesus on the lips of this guy. This kid that grew up at Village, who just said, I'm going to live my life for Jesus. I'm going to take this seriously. Everywhere I go, I'm going to talk about him. That's just a kid from Village, just like one of these kids that you saw, saying, yeah, I'm going to live this out. What does it look like? Well, God will open up crazy things. You'll be on a reality TV show in front of millions, or you'll live in a family of four or whatever. What are you going to do with that? You're going to influence the world when you just tell people about Jesus. Lastly, show Jesus by physically showing it. Make something to be a reminder for you, for your house. We do this all the time for events. If something is important, you're going to set yourself a reminder. Like I said, you set an alarm for school or work, you remind yourself. You make a commitment to a friend, you remind yourself. We keep tickets for concerts and games that we go to. We keep a sweater for years just because grandma made it. It's special. So this third way to show Jesus is pretty open to your heart to interpret as a family. Maybe it's even like a playlist that you're going to listen to. Maybe it's something that you get creative. You put artwork on your wall for your family to remind yourself. Read the text with me. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. As Carl mentioned, for our K through 6th grade, we read through Proverbs, and some of the verses that wisdom reminds you and me is like Proverbs 3:3, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you, bind them around your neck, write them on your heart. Proverbs 6:21, bind them on your heart always, tie them around your neck. Proverbs 7:3, bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablets of your heart. You don't have to take it literally, but you get the idea. Surrounding ourselves with the truth and surrounding the people around us will know this is the Jesus that I worship. So show Jesus. We've looked at the word, we've considered what it means, so what are you going to do with it? I've got some challenges for you, some questions that I want you to ask yourself. Kids, I'm going to start with you. I've got a lot of challenges for you. Are you ready? First big one is this. Are you, in your heart, listening? It's so easy. Some of the high school friends are getting pretty tired. We're feeling the weight of finals and all that. Are we tuning things out, or are we keeping our hearts open and listening? Are you listening to your parents? God wants you to do that. You need to do that. That is where life is. Correction. Second, there's a lot of people here who are loving you. Where are you putting up walls? Where are you refusing to be taught? Where are you falling into the temptation to roll your eyes or mock people who are living genuine lives? They're the easiest targets to make fun of. Do you find yourself making fun of other people just because they're being sincere? If you have someone in your life from Village who is modeling these verses well, God is calling you to listen to them and let them impact you. Third, are you ready to love your siblings this summer? Yeah? We hear all the time. You'll hear it right here from me. God wants you to love people. And you think, yeah, that's great. Then you look at your sibling. No, wait, whoa. Not them. Like, they don't count. Like, God wants me to love people. I don't know what this is right next to me. God calls you to love your siblings. There's a whole psalm dedicated to you loving your sibling, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. That's an easy one, right? No big deal. I want to encourage you and I want to warn you. God's word says if you don't have the love of the Father for your siblings, you have not fully downloaded. You do not know the love of Jesus. You do not have God's love in your heart if you're just too busy holding on to hatred or resentment. If God can help my siblings love me, I mean, shoot, he can help you. Love your siblings. Sisters, moms, church moms, I have a question for you. Are you being diligent in teaching your children about Jesus and showing them in a couple ways? Here's a tougher one. Are you ready for it? Are you saying you're sorry? Are you the one that can come up to someone and say, hey, I'm sorry? Are you the one willing to forgive in a relationship? You model that. You show the love of Jesus when you do that. Do you do that? Are you open, maybe a harder one, are you open to correction when someone says anything? God's word says, listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end you will be wise. The listen to advice part doesn't mean we always have to take it. But there's wisdom out there for you. Sisters, moms, are you receptive to teaching, corrective criticism? Or is it too easy to just say, don't say things to me? Are we putting our hands up? How do we show Jesus love? Brothers, dads, church dads, are you holding your temper? How's that going for us? Dads, are you edifying? Biological dads, are you edifying and supporting mom? Do you put her words down, or do you support them and hold them up? Do you put her in her place in front of people, or do you protect her? Spouses, are you standing up for each other? Your kids can see crystal clear if there's division. They can see it. You can't hide that. One of the best gifts you can give your kids is this year, for this summer, is a year of stability. Just saying, no matter what she says or no matter what he says, I am going to love. That gift of stability, putting your spouse in front of your kids, loving well, that's going to show Jesus brightly, village families. Are you showing Jesus to your kids by teaching them what marriage looks like? Are you staying tight and apologizing for wrongs and not letting stuff divide you? God is so gentle. As I've said all of this, I'm feeling convicted myself. But he's so gentle when you lose the way on any of these marks. If we've forgotten to keep him first, when we come to him and say, Lord, I am sorry. I have not kept you first. I have forgotten. I've put me first. He is gentle and says, it's okay. We'll find it. We'll get back on track together. There is no ounce of withholding his love from you. At church, we are human. We are sinners. We mess up. And we get the joy and the glory to walk with people and point to Jesus. I want to leave you with something God put on my heart after reading this passage over and over. Praying for us today, Jesus fulfills the law. He has done that. And now our lives are his. He didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it. And so this is just an encouragement for you. This is a way that I read it that just kind of highlighted to me. Listen, oh my soul, Jesus is God. I will love Jesus with my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus will be on my heart. I will teach Jesus diligently to our children and talk about Jesus everywhere I go, from when I wake to when I sleep. I will fasten reminders of Jesus around my life, and the name of Jesus will be established in my family and home to the glory of God. Because Jesus has fulfilled the law, when you know and show Jesus, keeping him first looks like that. And in that love, we will keep his law. We will love him well. I want just you to think with me for a minute here. What would this new week in May look like? What would this week look like for you, remembering to keep Jesus first? Not just doing, your time, quiet time with God, but then living that out. What would your week look like? How would your family be different if this is the position you took, no matter what they did? How would the rest of your whole May look like going into the summer? How would your whole summer look like? Father, as we've read your word, we thank you for the hope of Jesus. Thank you that because you are so gentle to remind us, not withholding your love from us, not testing us at every step saying, did you remember and otherwise you failed, we worship you. And I thank you for this church that's been an active reminder to me of your love. Lord, when we go into our summer, when we're done with Sunday school and routine changes, there are downtimes, Father. There are times when hard times come, Lord, and you know it, and you know in advance, Lord, and you're helping us even today to think in advance, to plan what is our heart going to do to keep you first, Jesus. Lord, help us to be kind no matter what other people do. Help us to show you to a world that needs to hear it, Lord. I don't often find myself comfortable, Lord, just talking about you everywhere I go all the time. I ask for freedom from not just being reserved, but from being self-focused. I pray that our church would be able to say to people around us, oh, do you know the love of Jesus? How can I pray for you? Things like that. God, we need you to remind us to keep you first. And I thank you for doing that in this message and in this word. Lord, as we turn now and respond in praise, we're going to sing out to you truth about you. And I ask that you would give us joy as we sing your praises right now. Thank you for being great. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.